I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnnHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Your daily dose of liberty, your daily dose of non-propaganda, your daily dose of truth in the world of fake news. I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. And, you know, JC, we have spent an entire week now in D.C. doing tours with the D.C. buildings, monuments, sites, whatever you want to call them, with this tour group. And it seems to me that no matter where we go, no matter what the display, no matter who is teaching us, there is a single projected narrative. And I think what this goes on to teach us is that the swamp goes deeper than just the Republican establishment.
Right. Yeah, it's not, or Democrat establishment. Yeah, it's the whole, you know, what they call the deep state. And I think,
well, I think people think a deep state like covert kind of secret people, right, and whatever, but pulling the strings. But deep state is your National Park Service tour guide,
yeah, exactly,
delivering it's the all, propaganda.
It's all the bureaucracies beneath, the bureaucracies and employees beneath who we elect, beneath those who we elect, right? I've said long, you've heard me say many times, the people that you know, that's all a facade. So the faces, like, we know Marco Rubio, we know Mike Lee, we know, you know, the people that you elect and you think that's your government. That's mm-hmm. not your government. Mm-mm. There is an entire bureaucracy. There is an entire really fourth branch of government. And it's like you said, goes all the way down to even what would seem like trivial positions. We had this tour guide today in the Capitol building, whether it was of her own accord or by directive, she is there shaping or basically presenting everything in this racism equality framework, which is the message of the day, that
of the week, of everywhere,
yeah,
we went,
every tour, every presentation, every event,
every little mini video that we watched.
But you know, it's the same thing with movies. It's the same thing with TV shows, commercials. You know, remember the big hubbub about the Super Bowl commercials, which I really could care less. But I watch the Super Bowl to watch football. But remember the commercials. Remember all the people were in uproar about the commercials because they were all that. Like, mm-hmm. it had to be in this narrative of race and equality. And the thing is, it's not, it looks on the surface like it's supposed to be promoting, combating racism and promoting equality. When in fact, it is simply highlights division and creates division, mm-hmm. and accentuates those things that divide us. And you can tell that is the case by who they focus upon and who they leave out, like what we see in the tour. When you talk about, they want to talk about the minorities. Like, so we go in and she highlights the fact that this building was built by slave labor, but yet there's a statue called Freedom at the top. What a contradiction. You need to think about that as you go on a tour. Now, you'll see we saw Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, right, who are heroes of the civil rights movement and certainly deserve their honor. But what you see, what is glaring in its absence are any minorities or women that helped found this nation from the revolutionary time period. So you see these revolutionary figures, but they won't show George Middleton. They won't show Crispus Attucks. They won't show Lemuel Haynes. They won't show, what's the guy's name, the black rider that rode with Paul Revere. They won't talk about any of these people. You won't see them, right?
No Phyllis Wheatley. No Phyllis Wheatley. Mercy Otis Warren.
No Mercy Otis Warren. No Elizabeth Adams. I mean, none of these folks.
Well, here's the thing. This is the point that I actually made to her at one point. It was so irritating. I actually made the point to her. So the statue called Freedom on the top of the Capitol building was placed there in 1865.
Yeah.
Now her point was, we built this with slaves and it has a statue called Freedom on the top. Isn't that the point? Was, aren't our founders our hypocrites, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, wait a minute. I said to her, wasn't that statue placed up there in 1865? I said, it's not like the founders put that up there and had slaves build it. So
they were hypocrites.
So they're not, this is not a right correlation.
So in reality, it was later.
It was later.
It seemed like you could view that as, hey, this is a symbol that we've progressed.
Right.
That we've moved closer to the ideals that were espoused at that time that you can look at and say, well, they didn't live up to what they were saying. And so that statue, by that time in 1865, we should be able to say, okay, now this represents the fact that we've moved forward.
Well, and my point to her was, they can't teach that. No, my point was that could be a very unifying thing.
Exactly.
Look at what we did. We placed a statue on the Capitol building marking the movement of freedom forward, the recognition that we in America, we are dedicated to the principles that all men are created equal. I mean, think about the positive platform we could have had by simply saying, you know, we started off with this principle that all men are created equal, but we couldn't quite grasp it in the beginning. But here we are in 100 years, less than 100 years later, we're only 70 years later, we're fully ready to embrace this, so much so that we put a statue of freedom on top of, we alter our Capitol building as if to say, we are now a new people moving forward,
right,
in unity of race, in unity, but that couldn't happen. She couldn't, and it didn't compute with her.
No,
and she got mad at me. Mm-hmm. She looked at the crowd and said, "Well, what do you think, guys?
What do you think,
guys?
Is that a contradiction?
Is this a contradiction?"
Yeah.
And well, of course, these are all our kids, right?
Because
so they're looking at her. I had one of the kids come up to me and go, "Chrisanne, why don't you give us this tour? Can you please give this tour to us?"
But see, these lefty loons, they don't want unity. That's the thing. People out there, you need to understand. When you listen to what they're saying and they, you know, we want women to fit in and we want these to fit in.
That's not
what they want. They're building division. They breed division. Okay, this is what's crazy. So right now.
They're division pimps.
Right now, the black unemployment rate under this president that they hate is the lowest since 1972. The overall unemployment rate is 3.8, record low. We have the highest consumer confidence rate since 2004. Record unemployment rates, record low unemployment rates, record high stock prices, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the tension and the hatred and the division that's out there. Why? Like, we ought to be celebrating. Americans ought to be in a good mood, but they're not. And you know why? Because these lefty loons on the media every day pumping this stuff out. They profit off of division. They want division.
They're like social war profiteers.
Yeah, and this whole Democrat, really the first part of Trump's term now is like a big coyote and roadrunner show. That's what it's like. The Democrat Party is a coyote chasing the roadrunner. That's just been a comical scene of this.
Yeah, because no matter what they throw at him, he always ends up looking good anyway.
Right. And so they that makes them even angrier. And now it's just bred into them. Mm-hmm. So, but
well,
it,
now
it's
they're
really
gonna...
disgraceful, though, if you honestly think about it. You know, you saw the statue. They had the unfinished monument of the women, right? Mm-hmm. So you got three women from this time, the fighting
the
for
women's
suffrage,
suffrage
or whatever. And again, where's Mercy Otis Warren? Where is Elizabeth Adams?
Well, where here, I have an answer for that, actually.
You know.
Right? Because, number one, not to diminish the battle of women's suffrage, right? But we need to put it in the proper perspective. See, they actually magnify it.
Right.
Right? So I came to you and I said, do you think she actually read the 19th Amendment? Can I mm-hmm. ask her that? I mean, because they're always saying the 19th Amendment gave the women the right to vote.
Yeah,
if you read that, it does not give women the right to vote. It says women have that right and it cannot be taken away.
And they don't ever talk about the fact that this was being restricted on the state level, states at the state level.
Right, but not in every state
exactly.
either.
Exactly, and there were some voting, some not. And so it wasn't, they make it out like it's this.
The biggest
that's the problem that I have. So, because this is what I wanted to ask her, because she said, do you think that's a contradiction? I wanted to say, well, given that at the Constitutional Convention, the representatives of 10 out of 13 colonies were opposed to slavery. What do you think their thoughts were about the contradiction?
Yeah.
Right? Because it paints this picture of this sort of homogenous group of white racists who all wanted to continue slavery. That is not the history. That is not the reality. When you really dig into it, you see a handful of colonies essentially holding the rest of the colonies hostage mm-hmm. because the desire was to build the Union in order to strengthen themselves and to be able to stand against Great Britain and not be picked off again. Imagine if they had not been successful at doing what they did, then the War of 1812 probably would have been a rewind.
Yeah,
we probably
would have
lost that,
have.
And they would have taken America. British would have taken America back.
So the whole
that
reason
sense.
That they can't have Mercy Otis Warren, they can't have Penelope Barker, they can't have Phyllis Wheatley, is because then they cannot magnify these events that highlight a disproportionate view of some kind of oppression to women, and then make and push forward this whole women's rights. She was all about the equality
yeah, the
of
rights.
Women. These women, Mercy
yeah, why aren't
Otis
you
Warren,
celebrating those women?
Yeah, these
right? because
women were pioneers.
Yeah, exactly, but they contradict the narrative.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. This is the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, coming to you Monday through Thursday. And Saturday, we have the Chris Ann Hall Full Show every Saturday.
Full show.
Was it I come out with like a southern accent?
No,
or full?
No, I just want to make sure everybody understood you didn't say
the complete Chris
yeah,
Ann Hall
but you
show.
Didn't say fool.
No. That we leave that to the mainstream media,
right.
to the CNN and MSNBC. We'll leave that to Rachel Maddow to have the fool show.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. We probably maybe got a little too intense the first segment. I don't know. Maybe I was talking. We were talking over each other just a little bit here and there. But it just, man, that gets me so fired up when I see these guys distorting history.
Absolutely.
Like
when the stuff, I mean, WorldNet Daily. I mean, this is being published, has an article on five black men in our revolution
right.
that you probably never heard about.
Yeah.
Right. So people are, it's not just us. We're not like this lone wolf out there that's teaching this stuff. There, you have access to these things. And this
yeah.
lady in the,
not hard to find.
Right. Not hard to find. That's what I'm trying to make. And so once again, this is the deep state.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get rid of these people. Because think about how many people this woman touches every single day with her garbage.
But it's not just...
And it's not just her.
But this is what... So you and Alan were talking about how that is she... Is this on her own? Is
right.
she given a script? Is this a directive? Because it's not just the fact that, okay, here are government employees and this is what they're doing. This is in our educational institutions. Mm-mm. So she really wouldn't have to have any direction. She just gets hired and then off she goes. She can bring this kind of narrative and nonsense with her from higher, quote unquote, higher education.
I just don't know how you can't know that it's scripted when we go from one building to another building to another building,
yeah.
and it's the exact same message.
My point is it doesn't have to be.
It does not have
to be. I think it's scripted from a higher level.
Okay, so here's another point that just come to my mind. It doesn't have to be because the people don't want it to be that way.
And that's what I was going to say.
Right? Because here we have example. Surely this is our sort of small statistic pool. But we have 37 students who are standing there who saying, Chrisanne, we want you to give this tour. What does that tell you? It's not about me, right? They want to know the truth. I'm going to tell you guys, listen to this. This is the deep state. I mean, think about it. Everybody puts all of this importance in changing out the directors, changing out the Supreme Court justices. Now, I am not trying to diminish the impact that a Supreme Court justice can have, right? Not by any means whatsoever. But I want us to think about this deep state. I want us to think about how this all works. Because when you think about the details, the National Park teachers who are Obama held holdovers teaching this Marxist adaptation. If I heard democracy one time this week, I heard 1,000 times, and I wanted my head to explode. And not once did somebody say constitutional republic unless they were actually with us. Now, I want us to think about this because this is where your deep state lies, in the details. Yes, it's going to be a big deal to change out another Supreme Court justice. But what difference does that one Supreme Court justice make when there are how many federal judges placed in the federal court system under Barack Obama? Didn't you know that number, don't you, dear?
It was over 1,000.
Right? So you have over 1,000 judges. Now look, the Supreme Court hears 80 cases each year. That's it. 80 cases. The Supreme Court gets 7,000 requests to hear cases every year. That is not the number of cases that the federal courts hear. That is a less than 10% fraction. 7,000 a year is less than 10% of the number of cases that the federal courts hear every single year. So what you have are hundreds of thousands of cases heard on the federal court level. 7,000 are sent. Let me get with this back to you after the break.
There again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our ammunition.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find strange. For I am not one man.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. Sorry, that last segment is just so short. It gets away from me sometimes. And so I want us to really, really try to focus on what is going on here. This deep state, yes, you can pick the head off, but the problem is that there are hundreds within the body carrying on the same objective, the same liberal Marxist transformation of America. You can change out that head, but until you get rid of those people that have been placed there under this Marxist ideology, this anti-liberty ideology, you're not going to do it. So we have this focus on the Supreme Court justice. But the Supreme Court hears 80 cases a year. They are, out of the 7,000 that of requests that they get, they only choose 80, which is about 10%. Of the 7,000 that they get, federal courts hear more than that. Like hundreds of thousands of cases in the federal courts every single year. One Supreme Court justice can affect less than 80 cases a year. But the judges in the federal courts affect hundreds of thousands of cases with hundreds of thousands of people's lives. And yet we change out the Supreme Court and we ignore the fact that these federal judges appointed by Barack Obama, well, let me take that back, appointed by the Senate under Barack Obama, are still there carrying out that agenda. When you have people in these lower levels still teaching, still operating, Donald Trump is president. He is the head of the executive agency, but you have all of these executive agents. Do you know the Department of Justice has not changed since Barack Obama left office? Why? Because all the federal prosecutors still believe that liberal, Marxist, anti-people, anti-state ideology, and they're working against them. They're working against them. We have got to get this celebrity mentality out of our mind and start realizing that we need to focus on a deeper level, because that's really where the swamp is. Scott Pruitt, right? Scott Pruitt is resigning as the EPA head. Do you know why Scott Pruitt is resigning? More liberal Marxist bullying.
Mm-hmm.
So the liberals hate Pruitt. He got rid of one third of the Marxists at the EPA. He cleaned out the lower level.
Right.
Right? He rescinded the guidance that Clinton and Obama's people put in place, that guidance that rules over the businesses in the states. He gave the states the ability to set their own sensible water quality standards instead of the unattainable ones, which were directed by the EPA. And he has opened up the states to have more control over their own environments. Now, this is not where we need to be. You know, I know, and the people who listen to this show believe and know that the EPA has no authority to have their power into the states. Now, you can have a federal EPA. I'm cool
but
with that.
But he was piece by piece moving it back.
But he was moving it back.
To the states.
Yes. And it drove them nuts.
You know, and I think...
And they were able to bully him out.
Right. But, you know, in that, that's the answer. Well, first off, let's talk what you just said. There's two things I think should be learned out of this administration, because I really think people went in with a pretty naive attitude. You talk about draining the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't... It was bizarre having conversations after the election and just before the election, where it sounded like people were thinking, you know, hey, we're going to elect Trump and then that's it. We have victory. It's done because he's in there. And I kept saying to people, I said, are you kidding? Do you think the opposition is going to roll over and play dead? So I think two things we've learned out of this. Number one, you better be ready for the fight. You better be ready for the counterattack. Mm-hmm. So a guy like Pruitt, I mean, he's essentially being bullied out of office, right? So
essentially, actually.
Say, hey, buddy, you should have been ready for that, right?
Number two, because Trump chose him.
Yeah.
Because he knew that he had a a counterculture ideology right. to the EPA.
So you
he was
better
specifically
be ready.
Chosen
you better be ready.
For that. I mean, I remember that. Trump picked him because he's all for limiting the EPA. He wants to shut it down from the inside out. I mean, yep. that was what they were saying.
So you better be ready for the fight, number one. Number two, what we've learned, I think, is you're going to need – you need righteous people. You need reputation matters.
Mm-hmm.
Your past matters. Your personal life matters. Some of these
unless
guys,
unless you're a liberal Democrat,
right? I'm talking about for us, for people who believe in liberty. You want to go in there because you believe liberty. You want to go in there because you want to limit government. I'm obviously these rules don't apply to the liberal because they don't hold their corrupt people accountable. So, but if you're going to need to elect people whose personal life is solid
mm-hmm.
because we're seeing a lot of these people who were there doing good things end up getting booted out because they did not have their own personal house in order. And people were able to bring up things in their past. The same thing with Donald Trump. I mean, we may look at the guy and say, you know what? Everybody has a past. Everybody makes mistakes. Maybe he's not that guy that he was, and some of these things don't represent who he is now, right? That you could say that about anybody. If you want to say that about him, fine. But the problem is, what's going to be the case with a lot of these folks who are in office? They're gonna try to bring stuff up and mistakes out of your past. And if you have some of these fast and loose business dealings, which a lot of business people do just by the complexity of the whole thing, if you're not lock tight, you're going to get yourself in a mess. They're going to dig that up and they're going to come after you with it. And they're going to mm-hmm. attack you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to know it's going to be a dogfight going in. And then, hey, we better start raising up candidates who have their personal affairs in order. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to use a pun there, but you better have your house in order. Put it that
right,
way.
Right. Well, and you know, it's also a recognition that there's a high degree of hypocrisy in the midst of all of this. So Pruitt is being criticized because he's tried to help his wife get a job, right? But can anybody deny Clinton nepotism? Seriously,
well,
it's just insane.
That is true, but I don't know anything except for people to keep sharing the truth and keep exposing these things. But the fact of the matter is, this stuff doesn't seem to work on, it doesn't work on the left. And does seem to work on many of their voters. You can't point out hypocrisy because I don't think most of their voters, let's face it, they're not following them because of virtue in the first place. I mean, they have a lot. I would say the left has a lion's share of amoral, immoral, anti-moral people who are against any kind of morals, you know, make up a portion of their following. Now, we can say the same thing about some of these, let's say, unethical corporatists on the right have the same problem. And so that's not the kind of people that really we're going to need if you're going to sustain the fight. You got to have somebody that has backbone, they're ready for the fight, and they better be clean enough that they can survive. And so I think that's really going to be a serious consideration going forward. But that goes back to the people, what you've said many times. We're not a reflection of our government. Our government is a reflection of the people. So if we want a moral and courageous group of representatives, then we have to be moral and courageous people. And so it really comes down to a grassroots change. As I said on the last show, America needs Jesus. So, I mean, we got to get back to virtue.
Well, I think it's a courage issue more than anything, because without the courage of your convictions, like we're saying, you had to know what you were getting into. Okay, you're probably serving under the most contested president that we've seen since, well, I could think of a few, but probably not in this day and age of media, the adversity that he has to suffer from because of the the word that I'm looking for just hopped out of the ubiquitous media. It never stops. Right. It is just absolutely constant. So you're going to have to know, so what? I tried to find my wife a job. Hit back with, well, look at Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, blah, 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 you know? And seriously, Chelsea Clinton, this, that, and the other. And say, look, you want to have a standard of government. Well, then you better decide what that standard is.
Yeah.
And hold me to that same standard.
And hold everybody to
And hold standard. Everybody that same standard, you know? And so people talk about a double standard in government. It's not just simply a double standard between the lower people and the government. And I say that with sarcasm because, you know, I don't believe there's lower people than government. But, oh, that was funny.
Yeah, that's pretty. Government is the lower people.
They are the lower people, right. But there's a double standard with these militant Marxists. I mean, they're just ruthless, and you're going to have a backbone and say you got to have conviction in your principles and say, you know what? And you know what I think? That's what I like about Sarah Sanders.
Yeah.
Seriously.
She's tough.
She's takes courageous. A whole lot yeah. of junk.
Yes, she does.
And she just looks at him like, you know what? And I think, you know, I don't want to make any conclusions, but I think it's because she truly is a godly woman.
Right.
So she's like, you know, you guys can say whatever you want, but in the morning I can wake up and look at myself in the mirror, and at night I can sleep in peace. Because yeah. number one, your standards are not my guidepost, and your name calling is what I should expect because my Savior was called names too. Right?
Amen.
Now that doesn't make us feel any different as any better most of the time, because as women, we are hardwired to be more sensitive about that things and those things. And every once in a while, you'll see Sarah Sanders, she'll break down, but that's simply because of who she is. But why can't Pruitt be like that? You know, forget you guys. I'm doing a job here. You're not the one whose nameplate is on the desk. You're not the one who's signing my paycheck. So here we go. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Here we are in the last segment. We are talking about this liberal hypocrisy, this guided, this directed, scripted narrative that is being shoved down our throats because people don't know the truth. And we've been taught the bad things for so long, and we don't with a backbone stand up against it. And what's amazing, well, I have my husband with me, JC Hall. Remember, we've been doing these tours through Washington, D.C. We were at the Capitol building being assaulted by all of this garbage message
yeah.
that the tour guide had. And now, I don't know, I had a moment of absolute glowing pride.
Yeah.
Absolute. I was, these kids that we had in
now,
our
the
youth
girl
group
was
were
nice,
so good.
Was a nice
She
young
was
lady.
Nice,
she
but
was
she's
polite.
Brainwashed.
She was doing her best, but yeah, she was brainwashed. So whether that's her fault or not, I don't know. But
the kids started asking her real questions.
Props to these young people. And that's, yes. man, we try to share that wherever we go, by the way. Mm-hmm. So when you in the live teaching and we run into people who are discouraged and they think it's just old people and young people don't care and we're going to lose it because there's no young people and all these crazy millennials, we see what I call the counter millennials all over the country when we go. And here was another group of over 30 of these young people. And it was funny. They asked the girl, and it was really kind of bold. And I think it was one of the young men or maybe, I don't remember if it was Bree or who said
it. Was it. Josh. Well, I don't remember.
But yeah. So one part of the young people, they said, so I noticed that you didn't mention anything about the church that was conducted in this Capitol building.
And I loved how they phrased that. right? Yeah. I noticed you didn't say anything because right. they're noticing. They talked to me afterwards and their head was about to explode like mine, all the yeah. garbage they've been hearing because yeah. they've been taught by us now for a long time.
Right.
Right. And so we noticed yeah. that you didn't say anything, anything about this.
Like you said a lot of stuff.
You said a lot of stuff.
Certain stuff that you obviously left out. And
her response was,
got nothing for you.
That's what she said. Exactly.
I got nothing for you.
I don't know anything about that. You know, I can't said, know everything yeah, about this building.
I don't know everything. That's why.
And we were like, and the kids were like, you don't know about the church that they had? I mean, they kept at her. They kept at her. You don't know about the church they had in the Capitol? I mean, that's not a small thing. She knew stupid, small, useless facts.
Right.
And she didn't know this.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say, you know, there's a tunnel connecting this building that you're giving tours of to the Library of Congress. And so mm-hmm. you might want to take some time, maybe during lunch, and wander over there from time to time and, you know, and discover some real information. This is from
the church is not in the scripted narrative.
Exactly. So this is you can find this on the Library of Congress website. So this is what it says. And the heading is "The State Becomes the Church, Jefferson and Madison." And this is what it says, quote, "It is no exaggeration to say that on Sundays in Washington during the administrations of Thomas Jefferson and of James Madison, the state became the church. Within a year of his inauguration, Jefferson began attending church services in the House of Representatives. Madison followed Jefferson's example, although unlike Jefferson, who rode on horseback to church in the Capitol, Madison came in a coach and four. Worship services in the House, a practice that continued until after the Civil War, were acceptable to Jefferson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." So, you know, the information is there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right there. Library of Congress, right next door. You know, and this is the guy, Thomas Jefferson, remember, wrote the mm-hmm. letter to the Danbury Baptist
right.
saying, "Hey, you don't have to worry.
Uh-huh.
I stood for
religious
liberty, mm-hmm. and we're going to keep standing for that." There's a wall of separation that protects the church from the government, which really is the meaning of church and state, separates church,
so
state, remember.
Here's what we'd like you to do. If you end up going to any of these national tours, front load your kids.
Exactly.
Front load them with the truth so that when they're assaulted with these scripted narratives like our kids did, they can start. That's what it was. These kids were connecting the dots and saying, "You're missing this. You're missing that. You're missing this."
Their powder was dry.
And their powder was dry. Oh, man, that was so encouraging to me. Thanks for sharing this week with us. Go back to chrisannhall.com, listen to the rest of the shows, and we will see you on Saturday. God bless.
America, America, I gave my best to you.